She's a wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
Would somebody just give God some praise in this house today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this day and all the possibilities of praise due your name. Thank you for your people present. Thank you for your holy presence. Now, God, we yield ourselves to you and the working of the Holy Ghost to do in this hour now that you desire. We are yielded vessels. Have your way. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. There are so many things going on today, and this marks the first Sunday in Black History Month, and things that we usually do in our ministry on this first Sunday and every first Sunday, but we're changing a little bit. One of the things that I had purpose to do today was to present to you the full vision of what we want to do as a ministry, as opposed to putting this in a business meeting. One of the problems with a business meeting is the folk that should be here and it don't show up. And this is the business of the Lord. And God's business is always relevant and prevalent and is always important that we understand and operate according to the way that God would have us to operate. Let me start by saying the state of the Greater King David Baptist Church is in very good shape. Hallelujah. My staff, Brother Anderson, and all those who have been a part of collecting facts and figures and information, reports, etc., so that we could present to those of you. Many of you come to church on Sundays, and many of you pretty much stop at the running of the church at that point. There's so much that goes on behind the scene. For the last 2 years, we have met and exceeded our $3+ million budget. God has added to the church hundreds in these years. And baptism, altar experiences, etc. And I'll give you all of those facts and figures later. But I just need you to understand all of this is a part of where God is directing us to. Somebody has said so very well that you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've come from. And so for the fuller understanding of the fuller membership, because it's going to take the length and breadth of this ministry to support the vision that God has for us. One, because it's that massive. So many times people want to rush and run into things and do things without a full understanding of what it takes to do those things. That's one of the reasons why when Jesus handpicked the 12 with him and others who wanted to volunteer, he would not allow them to, because they had not counted up the cost. They didn't understand what was involved in the ministry and in the mission of the Master. And so oftentimes we say, well, we can do this and we can do that, and it may sound good and it may look good, but then first of all, we've got to recognize where we get our marching orders from. And they're from God. And we have had the pleasure and the privilege of being directed by God, spirit-led of God, and operating in the Spirit of God to the point where God has blessed this ministry. But now God is ready to take us to new heights and new places. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Everybody is not necessarily here for the right reason. And God said, even so, let the wheat and the tare grow together. You don't have to worry about picking out and putting out those who don't belong. God will do that. That's his business. You don't have to worry about the naysayers and the haters and those who are not connected with the vision. You don't have to worry. God's going to take care of all of that. And so we have been in a place where we have waited to hear the voice of God. And I've shared with my leadership, and I've said that to them, we cannot get ahead of God and expect God to bless what we want. This is his church. I'll share a little word with that with you in just a moment, but this is his church. And if it is his church, then we must recognize that we are his sheep. That he is the one who leads us, who guides us, who feeds us, who enlivens us with his power and his spirit and his purpose. And so even as the word is clear, where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's the other side of the flip side of that. Where there are no people supporting the vision perish. And so that's my reason for wanting to make sure we understand what God is doing, what God has done. Our record is God has done greater things in this ministry, in the history of this ministry. We're at a point and a place where we have never been in this ministry, and it's all due to the glory of God and the faithfulness of the believers. And as a result of that, now is the time. Let me say it again. Now is the time. Now is the time for us to come together. Focus our faith together, focus our funds together, and focus our fellowship together behind the leading of God to do what we have been instructed by God to do. We've been talking and teaching about 10, and we are, and our whole focus this year is we are determined to win in 2010. Why do I want you to embrace, first of all, this theme? Because, first of all, being determined means that you've got a made up mind. Your heart is fixed and your mind is made up. We are on our way to where God wants us to be. That means everybody from the head all the way down to the member who is the newest of this ministry. We collectively come together, join hearts, hands, and all that God has given us to bring to fruition the vision for this ministry. And first of all, when we look at the general church, we see many things that meet the eye, and we can see success, and we can say that's great and that's good and that's wonderful. But there is a church behind the church. This is the church building. We are the church behind the building. And too many of us have focused our attention on the physical church and not the spiritual church. And the problem has been that God himself is more concerned about the whole church and not just a part of the church. And so as a result of that, many of us who should be operating in ministry operation, who's in the pews and God has a place for them. Maybe you say there's not a place where I have ministry already organized. Maybe it's because God has that ministry to be birthed out of you. Maybe God has given you that ministry to be a part of the larger context of our ministry. Many of you know God has more of a need for your life, not only in the local church, but even extended on your jobs, in your families, in your neighborhoods, in your contacts, in your fellowships, to spread the love and the life of Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. People don't recognize when Jesus sent the disciples out to go and make disciples or to go and make sheep, it took sheep to reproduce sheep. I've shared with you before, shepherds don't produce sheep. They lead and they got sheep. Reproduce sheep. I feed you, support you, nurture you, give you what you need so that you can go out into the world and share in all of the places God has strategically placed you. And listen, wherever you are is not necessarily where you're going to end up, but wherever you are for this season, God has a reason, and you need to be sensitive to that, because it may be just one person in that place you're in that God wants to pull out of there before he moves you on to another place. And we've got to be sensitive to that. So one of the things that I want us to focus on is this. We know the condition of the natural church is in very good condition. Historically, better than it has ever been. We've got nearly $4 million. The church, we are debt free. We don't owe nobody anything. Amen. And we can go on with figures, and you'll get those later again, as I said. But the real question is, how is the church behind the church doing? Because the Spirit of the Lord told me to say this to you. While the natural church is faring well, how is the spiritual church? Because if you really want to know the state of the church, ask yourself, how are you as it relates to your worship? How are you as it relates to your witness? How are you as relate to your study of the word? How are you as relates to your giving? How are you as relates to your lifestyle? How is it, talking about the real church, as it relates to your following the lead of God for your life? How is it? And so when you really want to know what condition the church is in, ask yourself. Matter of fact, ask your neighbor, how's your church doing? If you got another one on the other side, ask, how's your church doing? Because you're the real church that Jesus Christ is concerned about. You're the real one who's going to make a difference. If you will do your part, then the physical church will burst at the seams and grow beyond any imagination when we understand how God wants to use the real church. Look at this word, if you don't mind, Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? First thing he starts off isn't with an assessment. An assessment, because what he really wants to understand from those who observe him is what they see about him as the Christ. What he also wants to know is what we know about us and what others think they know about us. Assessment is necessary. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Not God's Son, but the Son of Man, the one whom God had provided for mankind to be the Savior of mankind. Did they grasp a true understanding in their assessment of who he really was? Did they really understand his purpose? Did they really understand his mission? Did they really understand his methods? Did they really understand his means? You see, my brothers and sisters, what he really wanted to understand was what they understood as it related to him being the Savior of mankind. And so many times people come into the church and never see the Christ. But there are some people who say, sir, we would see Jesus. And it is our job to lift Jesus up so high that men will see him, and not only see him, be drawn to him and that he has purposed for their lives. In order to be what you ought to be, you've got to know who he is. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This assessment must be taken by every man of Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why men are filled without hope and filled with hopelessness, because they don't know who Jesus is. That's why men are filled with emptiness, restlessness, and peacelessness, because they really don't know who Jesus is. That's why man has turned to the things of the world and is grasping at that is fading and falling, because they do not know who Jesus is. That's why men turn to drugs, prescription, and otherwise, amphetamines, barbiturates and hallucinogenic drugs, alcoholism, perversions, and all the rest of that, because they do not know who Jesus is. And so then he moves this assessment from the public arena to the private arena. And then he wants to know from those who are in association with him, because the people on the outside truly can't know him because they're not close enough. But I think he was, pardon my perspective, but I think he was setting them up. Because you know, most folk would tell you what they say and what other folks say. And Jesus loosened their lips to get them talking. Well, what are they really saying about me? Jesus, you ought to hear what they're saying. And so they started saying the things that they thought Jesus was, etc., and had no reservations about saying them. And Jesus silently listened. And when he had heard what each one had to say, then look at what he turns the questions. Verse 15 says, he said unto them, but let's change the transition of this thought. Whom say ye that I am? Now, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, how all of those who said what they said, he said and she said, and all the rest of them, how nobody else had anything to say but Peter. Listen, I want you to hear this now. Because what happens is Jesus brings a revelation to themselves that they really didn't know who he was. That they were walking with him, that they were talking with him, that they had been blessed by him, but they were more caught up in the externalities rather than the eternalities. And they really didn't know who Jesus was. What a sad commentary for the people who say they belong to Jesus and don't really know who he is. What a sad commentary to be in his church Sunday after Sunday, to come to Bible study, to be in prayer service, to work in ministry, and really can't tell nobody who Jesus is. Not even to himself. So we walk around under the cloak of a ministry without the experience of ministry. We sit in a ministry and a minister too, and yet we do not allow the effects of the ministered word to do what it does for us, even though it's working on us. God has promised it's not coming back void. See, God has a way of making you do what he wants you to do even without your permission. When you sit under the word and God's anointed his word to go forth and to accomplish what he promised, he'll make you do it. But if you don't acquiesce, if you don't submit, if you don't surrender, he'll still get you to do it. But when you don't do your part, you don't get your reward. Now, it's sad to think that you'll have to do the work and won't get the reward because you're not operating the way God wants you to operate. And so the real church behind the church is us. That he wants us to really know him. If we knew him, we wouldn't have a problem following me. Because this word is the same word that he gives the vision through, that he makes it clear through, that he follows his own order and structure. He doesn't put 3, 4, 5 different folk in the front for you to follow. He puts one man, according to Jeremiah 3:15, that he selects himself, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you knew it, you wouldn't need me or any other pastor.
If you could get there, hear from him on the same level that he calls us to speak to you, you wouldn't need nobody. But that's not how God operates. But yet we can go on our jobs and we can submit to the man. We can join organizations and we can submit to the president. We can be a part of every system and organization, but when it comes to the church, we have issues with God's structure and don't understand God is not going to bless in any other fashion. That's why you've noticed when I, from the beginning of my ministry, I've only prayed that God would send to this ministry the people that he wants to be in this ministry. I can't feed what God has not allowed. I'm not under obligation to lead anything but sheep. I can't lead, ain't responsible for leading goats and wolves and snakes. That's not my responsibility. I'm under warrant simply to lead and feed the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am focusing all of my energies on growing and grooming the sheep of God. I want you to tell somebody on the side of you, Pastor said, he ain't got time for nothing and nobody else but the sheep of God. And if you're not a sheep, then you're going to miss out on what God has for the people of God. Now, come on, give him some praise if you're a sheep. I know wolves and snakes and goats are mad right about now. I ain't trying to hear you. Your opinion don't even matter to me. I'm holding on to what thus saith the Lord and the people of God. And I got news for you. When I begin to march, the sheep of God will march behind me and the rest of the mess will leave, going in different directions. I'm telling you what I know from the word, and I'm telling you what I know from experience. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. The best is already on the way. Give God some praise today. I want the sheep to prepare for the reception of the vision that's going to be revealed later this month. I want you to prepare. God, connect me with the vision you've given our pastor. I'm not worried about the naysayers or the haters or the folk who can't see or hear. I'm speaking to the sheep now. To the sheep now. I want you to be in prayer. God would not allow me to present this today because he wants the sheep prayed up and prepared. And there's so much going on, he wants your focus. He's not going to share his glory with the New Orleans Saints. And who that? He ain't sharing his glory with Black history and all of the stuff that we're focusing on. He's sharing his glory with no one but himself. And he wants the believers to be focused on what he has to say to us. Give him glory if you will. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, if God is calling you today, if he's speaking to you today, would you just, as simply as he calls, would you get up and say, Lord, I come. God bless you. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, right now you ought to be giving God praise and glory for the work of God. Hallelujah. Is there another, my brother, my sister, God is speaking to? This is your time. This is your time. The church that Jesus Christ died for
is represented in this place. I'm speaking to you, my brother, my sister, to whosoever will, if Jesus is calling you by his Spirit, with simple childlike faith, would you say, Lord, I come, and get up out of that seat and come to the Lord as these have done? Those over in the overflow, if God is speaking to you by his Spirit, we have ministers and altar call workers who will gladly lead you here to the sanctuary. Is there another? Is there another? Give the Lord a hand of praise, if you will, Sister Stacy.
Good morning, Pastor Montgomery. We had one person come by, Christian Experience Paul.
For my way, you're the...
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
AAYT 88.1 FM is a non-profit educational and charitable organization founded in 1989 by Kimberly Holman Cassis and is recognized and certified as a 501(c) nonprofit organization. KAYT 88.1 FM.
My little man named Jesus, and he is
my soul.
And he
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to Inspire. I'm your host, Philip R. Taylor, pastor, Second Evening Star Missionary Baptist Church. We're so glad to have